I just want to briefly talk to you guys and encourage us all to hopefully be women of God that we are all called to be. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer before I begin. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now thanking you for this day. We thank you for our mothers, those who have sacrificed their lives to give us of life, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that they have done for us. The things that we have no clue that they have done just for our sake. We thank you for this day, praying that you would prick our hearts, that we will receive whatever it is that you would have for us on this day. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thanking you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I titled this message, A Legacy of Faith. A Legacy of Faith Impacting Generations. The most significant women in Scripture, were influential not because of their careers. It's not because they had awesome jobs and they were successful at their jobs. But what made these women so influential was their character. What was their character? And that quote is by Pastor John MacArthur. Earlier, we heard about some great women of the Bible. Ashley did a wonderful job with choosing some of the women in the Bible. And I actually have two of those women here on my in my lesson for today. One is Ruth. You remember Ruth. Ruth was a woman of loyalty and faithfulness. What I love about Ruth, listen to what she says in Ruth 1:16. She says, for where you go, she's talking to Naomi, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people should be my people. And your God, my God. Isn't that awesome? Listen to the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We know that she had the Immaculate Conception, right? A virgin birth. But what we oftentimes overlook was her servant's heart. She had the heart of a servant. Listen to the words of Mary. She says, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done according to me, according to your word. That's in Luke 1:38. And then we have Deborah. You guys know who Deborah is? She was a judge over Israel, and she's most noted as being a judge. But I find it very odd that although she was a judge, some would say she was a great leader and that she had influence and power, but did you know that Deborah called herself a mother? She was a mother of Israel, Judges 5:7. Have you ever thought about what your legacy would be? Have you ever thought about what your legacy would be? We all will leave this earth. What will you be remembered for? What will you be remembered for? For a Christian, for a woman of God, there is actually nothing else more valuable that we can leave on this earth than a legacy of faith. To leave our friends, our families, our coworkers, our loved ones with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A legacy of faith. Ms. Marcellette so eloquently told us that it's important for us to teach our children the Bible. Amen. How important is it for us to raise our children in the fear and love of the Lord? And as we teach our children and those who we have influence over, not just our children, but any person we come in contact with, when we teach them, we usually teach them by our own lifestyles. Amen. So we ought to train those people, the children, the young people, the upcoming generations in the way that they should go. What do we teach them? Of course, we teach them what the Bible says, and we teach them about Jesus. But I want to suggest that we also teach them three more things. Now, there's a lot of things we could teach them. But because I only have a short time, I'm only going to touch on three. First thing I want to say is that we can teach them what our purpose is, right? Everyone wants to know, what is my purpose for life? Why am I here? Why did you create me? What is it that I'm supposed to do in this life? What is my purpose? And I know some of us think that our purpose is to be rich, to be popular, to be famous, to be successful. But the Bible tells us that we have a different purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. Listen to Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. God says, you are my creation. I gave you life. You ought to live it for my glory. So let me ask you this. If we are living for God and for his glory, how is your life honoring him? How do you honor God with your life, your lifestyle? You know, because our lives don't belong to us. I know what we hear often in social media and in the world that tells us that we need to do us, right? It's your life. You can live it to the fullest. Do what you want to do. But if you are a child of God, if you're a Christian, then your life does not belong to you. It is for God's purpose, his glory. So we teach them about our purpose. Then we're going to teach them about the priorities of life. The priorities of life. Did you know that the Bible tells us what our priorities should be? And it should not be seeking after worldly riches and success and all of those things. The Bible says that our priority is to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our minds. That is the priority of a Christian woman. We are to be lovers of God. We are to be fully devoted to him, actively, persistently, consistently pressing, learning about the word, learning about who Jesus is. That is our priority. Did you know that there is nothing or no one on this earth that is more important than Jesus Christ? I know we have a head knowledge of that. We have a head knowledge of that. We say we love God. I love you. We lift up holy hands in church. But then Monday through Saturday, we are living for ourselves. What is your priority? Are you truly putting God first? Is he the center of your life? Is he Lord over your life? Is he your priority? Are you truly seeking the kingdom and his righteousness every single day? When you wake up and you plant your feet on the ground, are you giving God your life and say, this day belongs to you? Are you doing that? Is he first? And then I also want to talk about, lastly, our pursuits. Our pursuits. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. This is suggesting to us that as women of God, as Christian women running this race, we have to stay focused. And our focus has to be on things above. That means on eternity, on heaven, things above. We can't get entangled in this world. We can't get entangled with life, money, all of those things. We have to have our pursuits fixed on things above. Did you know that this world was not our final resting place? How many know this is not our final resting place, right? We know that this earth is temporary, right? That eventually is going to fade away. So we ought to always have eternity on our mind. Every single thing that we do, we're pressing, we're running our race, hoping to finish and then live with our Lord in eternity. So we're going to pursue eternity. We're going to do things that are going to make an eternal impact, not things that are going to fade away and perish. All of those things, all of the money, the houses, the cars, and even some relationships, those are going to pass away. But we live with the hopes of dwelling in heaven for eternity. So some of us need some motivation as to why should I be seeking after this eternal heaven? Why does it seem like my work is in vain? I'm working hard. I'm toiling. Yes, I'm in ministry, but the job is hard. Yes, I go to work every single day, 9 to 5. I'm slaving. But can I tell you that everything you do for God is never in vain? It's never in vain. Our Heavenly Father sees everything. He is our motivation. He is our motivation. Did you know that we are not to live by these worldly principles, seeking after these worldly accolades? But I want you all to know that everything you do for God, you will be rewarded for. Everything you do for God with the right heart, a pure heart, the right motives, you will be rewarded by Him. He will reward your obedience and your faithfulness. There is no greater calling for a woman than to raise godly children and to be a woman of influence for the upcoming generations. To live for Him, not for ourselves, but to live for Him. Listen to this story. I came across a blog about this wonderful woman of God, and her name is Katherine Ferguson. It was a blog written by Heidi Joel on the Revive Our Hearts website, and they were honoring the top 25 influential women that we have today, or that we had. Listen to her biography. The last prayer that 7-year-old Katherine Ferguson heard from her mother was just hours before the two were separated by slavery for the rest of Katherine's life. Her mother committed her much-loved daughter into the hands of God. For the rest of her life, Katherine chose to believe and live out that prayer. She belonged to God. Kathy was separated from her mother at an early age and became a slave to the Bruce family. She eventually was freed as a slave and married John, and they bore 2 children. Later, Kathy's husband and 2 children eventually died. If it had not been for Katie's deep faith and trust, and she belonged to God and the Bible truth and surged through her heart and mind, she would have surely crumbled under the weight of the lost. Instead, Katie, short for Katherine, Katie continued to welcome poor children and adults who wanted to know more about God and the Bible into her home. Prayer was a constant centerpiece. Toward the end of her life, the children she had taught, loved and cared for through the years, often returned to spend time with Katie and thanked their beloved teacher. In 1853, as one of those children read the Bible out loud to her, Katie died and went to be with the Savior who held her all her life. Catherine Katie Ferguson believed her mother's prayer. She endured slavery, arduous work, and tremendous loss because she knew her identity was in the Savior and not her circumstances. Katie trusts God. She experienced the power of His word, and though she never could read it herself, she loved, knew, and lived that word. She spent her life living out and teaching this truth. So who was Kathy Ferguson, Catherine Katie Ferguson? Do you know she was the first person to start Sunday school? The first person to start Sunday school. It is my prayer that we embrace biblical womanhood, biblical motherhood. What an awesome privilege. What a privilege and an honor to be called a child of God and have the responsibility to train up children in the way they should go and lead them to Christ. What an awesome privilege that is. To pass the baton of faith. May we live in such a way that we are godly role models for our children and the upcoming generations, that we teach them biblical truth, that we teach them the ways of God. And then when it's all said and done, each one of us will hear our Savior say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now thanking you for your word, Lord. Lord, I ask right now if there is anyone in here who does not know you as personal Savior, as Lord, that they will bow their hearts to you today, that they will surrender all to you on this day, that not one of us will leave this room the same, but that we will have an eternal perspective about this life, that we will trust in you, that we will live for you, that we will be godly examples for those who are watching us, that we will implant biblical truths into their lives, that we will be on fire for you have done such great things for us. We thank you for being called the daughter of God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you protect us, that you keep us, you strengthen us, Lord. We thank you for all that you're going to do. We give you honor and praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.